We now start our town council meeting. But first, I'd like to ask everyone to be sure to silence our telephones. We begin our town council meeting first with a pledge allegiance and followed by invocation prayer. If there's anyone here that wish not to participate in either one, you can step out right now. At the completion of both, we have the Chief Watts to escort you back in. Let's stand.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We come to this council meeting with thankful hearts for your faithfulness. And Lord, I ask for wisdom, understanding, and discernment for the councilmen to make decisions that are according to your will and your way. We welcome Holy Spirit in here to guide us and direct us, and we ask that you show us how to glorify you in all that we do. We ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I was going to do that then. Soon be bring me in.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we have a presentation by Chief Watts.
Thank you. After y'all appointed me last month, I had to promote somebody as a number two in the department. It was a very tough decision, and I went with Captain Investigator Robinson, who is now a captain, who has shown a lot of hard work, integrity, and just all around good person. There's not a thing I can't ask him to do that he won't do, and he stands out above and beyond in a lot of things. So I'd like to present Captain Antonio Robinson. So that left me with, I needed an investigator. And I opened it up and I spoke to William Hash about it. And expressed to him how much I thought of him. I'm going to tell you what this man is since he's come here. He's been hardworking, has done anything as he's gone above and beyond as well. To be honest, without both of these two guys, since February, this job would have been really hard as captain because they've stepped up, they've covered a lot of shifts, and they've helped me everything I've done. And William Hash did accept the role of investigator, and I'm excited to announce him as the investigator. Yeah. So that completes the top three. That's the command staff now. Captain Robinson will take over if I'm wrong, and if Captain Robinson's gone, Investigator Hash will take over for him as well. So I'm very excited at the experience and leadership I have. Thank you.
At this time, we are going to citizen comments. Harold Thomas. You have 3 minutes.
Good evening to you, Vice Mayor and Town Council. I'd like to thank you all for the privilege and the opportunity to have flags made and hung to honor those who served in the military that had ties to the town of Amherst. I would especially like to thank the Clerk of Council, Vicki. And both of y'all. I like that. Because there was a little bit of a snafu that took place, and it got straightened up. And I thank you very much for that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my father-in-law and my father would be very honored to see this in this town. So see the flags being displayed. And I thank you.
I'd like to ask for a motion for the approval of town council minutes.
I'll make that motion.
A second.
And we'll go into check approvals. Any comments on the minutes?
No comments.
Let's vote.
Oh, I'm saying, I was having.
No comments.
He's taking a vote now, so she's.
Oh, yes, you are?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll vote you this.
Yes.
Yes, fine.
Did you also vote?
Well, I didn't vote too.
Yeah, now you get to vote.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, we go, now we're going to the check approval, and I want to check to see what Mrs. Turner, do you have any interest?
I do. I'd like to announce that Hill Hardware Corporation has check number 6217 in the amount of $258.56. So I would like for that to be voted on separately.
I would ask for a motion on the check to accept for the number 6217 to be approved.
So you're doing on the hardware check right now, right?
No, he said on the checks accept that.
I'll make that motion.
Yes.
A second.
Now we have second motion. Need to vote.
Aye.
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 Aye. Then now we'll go to the number 6217 and need a motion to have that one approved.
Make that motion.
A second.
Vote?
Aye.
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 Abstain.
Aye.
Abstain. We go to staff reports and other reports. They are attached. So we'll move on. And discussion items. At this time, I'd like to ask Ms. Sir McGuffin to take charge of the discussion items.
Yes, sir. Thank you. The first one up we have is consideration of a resolution for speed reduction on Macadam Road. We've had a lot of comments. Chief has been very concerned about speed issues on Macadam. Mrs. Kemp has reviewed the code, and she has got some insight to us about how we can proceed on speed reduction if the council would like to do so. Mrs. Kemp.
So this is, I got some additional information because I was not familiar with, I guess, the situation with this road and the construction that has going on, I guess, on another road, but it's now made this the primary road for the high school entrance and exit, which I think has put, I'll defer to everyone else who travels that road more frequently, but I understand that the road is currently posted at 35. It probably should not be 35 on a good day, but with the additional traffic with high school students driving, parents driving, it's just probably overwhelming that road for that speed. So we were looking to council to have a discussion about some options. And the Virginia Code does offer some options to allow localities to set lower posted speed limits on roads that, quite frankly, they know a little bit more about and drive daily as opposed to VDOT. Initially, we thought one code section might work, but in learning a little bit more and talking with Ms. McGuffin, there are some actions that can be taken. One actually gives the town manager the ability to set a speed limit in a construction, I don't want to say construction zone, but construction area for 60 days, which would allow you all to, if there's any particular studies you want done, if you want Chief Watts to go you know, give you analysis of traffic problems, things like that. So it kind of gives you 60 days where I'm comfortable that Ms. McGuffin would have the power to lower that speed limit and let you all get any additional information. And then you can take action through an ordinance to lower it if that solved the problem, or if you all find out speed isn't the problem. I don't know. So that's your option that you can take tonight or simply discuss.
So to follow up with that, Council, the way the code is written, if a speed limit on a road is 25 miles an hour, Council can pass an ordinance to lower the speed limit to 20 or 15. Because this is a posted 35, you have an option to either, because it's in a construction zone, the town manager has the authority to just lower it for a 60-day time period, and it could be done repeatedly while the construction is going on at the high school. Or, and also and, you can work on having what's called a safety and construction analysis. It's not a traffic study. It doesn't talk about traffic study, which is a very particular thing. It talks about an analysis. Engineering, I think, and traffic analysis.
An engineering and traffic investigation.
Investigation, there we go. So this is not something that's defined in the code where we know that that means we have to go pay a firm to go do a traffic study. That means that we work with our engineer, we work with the police chief, and we go through this kind of analysis or study process, and then we can bring it back to you for an ordinance. I think what I would like is direction from the council. Is this something that you see an immediate need that you would like to have me as the manager go ahead and do this 60-day, lower that speed limit because we are concerned about the immediate safety of this road with school being back in. Chief has talked to Joey Crawford, the principal of the high school. They're supportive of this reduction at this time. 60 days would give us an opportunity to get feedback from people, and it's a temporary measure. And at the same time, we can work with our engineer to then do the work to determine what he would need and what Chief would need to do, and work together to kind of work on this study that is not defined in the code to take the next step. So I'd like to just get some feedback from council on what y'all would like to see us do. We haven't dealt with this before. This is kind of uncharted territory, and some of this is relatively new code language.
Well, it's good. I'm sorry.
Okay. Do you mind? I was able to ride the road with Chief, and I must say, when we got on to it, he was explaining, because this was going to come up, he was explaining the speed, the gravel, the situation, and I said, well, go 35 so I can see what it's like. He said, no, I'm not going to do that, because it's dangerous, you know. So he stepped up and corrected me. And I'm going to say something that I shouldn't, but I can't believe they're allowing children to drive on that road. It's very dangerous with that loose gravel. And they're blind spots. And I would not have, I mean, I probably have driven back there before, never paying much attention, but I was focusing. And I believe it is warranted to go and lower the speed. Question for you, Sarah. Is the 60 day just as a trial period, or if we pass the ordinance tonight, it's done?
So the 60 days is based on the authority within the code of the manager or the county administrator, or, you know, whoever, you know, sits in that seat for the locality during the time of construction. So because the traffic increase on this road is due to the construction of the high school and the rerouting of traffic, and so during the construction period, I can continue to impose these 60-day speed reductions. If we want to make it permanent, we will need to do this study or analysis process and then have an action of council. So what I'm looking for is first, you know, do you want to do the 60-day action to take action now that school has started and kind of have that immediate action and maintain that while we do the study to bring that back to council?
So we do have to have a study before it does.
We do, but it doesn't have to be the full blown, the language is not what we think of when we think about people having to do big VDOT improvements.
Right.
They don't use, you know, that language. They really give us this kind of more broad language. So I would work with our town engineer on that. and work with the chief on that to follow up. Because originally, looking at the code, and you know, Mr. Sundermurthy had brought me the highlighted code and pointed out, we can't, because it's over 25 miles an hour currently, you can't just by ordinance do this as a council. We will have to go through this study period in order to pass the ordinance, but we kind of had felt like we were going to want to do a process anyway. So I'm not worried about that. I think more what I want to do is get the insight from council as to whether y'all would like me to do something immediately under the provision of the code for construction.
Having written and observed, my opinion, of course, I will listen to council's opinion as well. I believe we ought to take action right away, as soon as possible, to prevent accidents. Number two, going forward, as far as a long-term ordinance, this may only be a temporary road, but is it going to stay open? Will this be another route for kids to go in and out, and football games, that sort of thing? I'm very concerned about it. I'm concerned about it being used for the highway, for the high school, considering the condition it's in. So my thinking now is to go ahead and act on it as soon as possible for the safety of the children, and then maybe look at it after the study.
I concur with her. I'm very familiar with the road, and I can tell you from my experience, these kids sometimes tend to fly. Matter of fact, I had a rollover in the Amber parking lot, from a high school kid in Morgan. And I think, if I'm wrong, has there been a rollover on that road?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I think it's warranted immediately.
I agree also.
I have a couple things to say. I, too, when this came out, asked the chief if I could have a ride-along. And I was quite taken back at what, and he wouldn't go 35 with me either, so just so you know. And I did ask, because I wanted to see the impact of what it would really be like to go 35 on that road. I do believe it needs to be lowered. I am not opposed to starting and using that provision now. Especially with schools starting and that having to reroute kids that way. In addition, I asked him to go down Sunset Drive, Ridge Drive, and other streets in the town that people have had concerns about. And it is very interesting that driving it is different than riding it. I had a very different experience driving them with Chief than I did when I had driven them personally. And so in the process of looking at this as an ordinance, I would like for the council to consider putting some kind of procedure together so when this construction's over and we want to look at this for permanent, we also might want to look at some other streets like Sunset. There's been some complaints on Sunset. There's been some complaints on Ridge Drive. So, Council, I'd like to see some kind of structure or procedure that we take some time, there's a complaint, we have public comment, citizens' concerns before we just automatically change the speed on the road. So I am happy for you to do that now for the safety of the high school students and faculty and staff, but I also would like for staff to put something in place that we can work with for the future if this code is going to be kind of standard.
I agree with everything that's been said.
Having heard direction from council, I will work with Chief and the schools to publicize this information. We'll have to figure out what signage we need to get for the temporary construction zone speed reduction. So I'll notify VDOT of that as well. So I will work with the parties I need to work with this week and get that signage addressed. What I would like to do, if I may, Mr. Vice Mayor, could I get a motion from council for direction to staff to go ahead and do the necessary analysis and study on Macadam Road for the permanent reduction, as well as design the procedure so that we could use that as a model for future roads. So
I'll make that motion.
Okay. If you would ask folks for a vote, then Mr. Vice Mayor.
Aye.
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 Okay. Thank you.
Can I ask you some questions? How do we actually justify that as being a construction zone? I mean, it's associated with construction in the school, but it's not construction right there.
Because as part of, this is Kevin, I talked about that, and when you do a construction plan, you have to designate how you are going to manage traffic as part of the construction project, because you are changing the traffic pattern of a location. And Lancer Lane is a VDOT roadway, and they have basically redirected traffic from one VDOT roadway to another VDOT roadway. So as part of the overall construction plan, it's included in that. So valid question. We spent some time looking at the code to see if we could justify that very question. The second thing, Mr. Vice Mayor, is consideration of proposals for Main Street improvement plans. I apologize to council because I did not realize until just before this meeting, which is why I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off. We had originally three proposals from McGill. My intention was to pull out of your packet for this month the project that was the 60 West and in front of CVS, and I mistakenly left that one in and pulled out the one that was the South Main Street. What I'd like to do is talk about the two proposals from McGill and have a conversation with council and see if you have enough information to move forward on these, see if you need to discuss it for another month, which would be fine. I just want to get your feedback. So generally speaking, I'm going to talk about the medians one first. The first proposal from McGill would be to investigate along Main Street. If you think about Main Street proper, it was a highway. Then the bypass was built, and you were left with what is now Main Street. It's still considered a primary highway by VDOT, but it has a width and a speed potential that is greater than what is needed for Main Street today with the operation of the bypass. This study from McGill would look at 11 possible locations along Main Street to add landscaped medians, and it would evaluate them for places where you could add those landscaped medians that would not interfere with turning motions, which would provide traffic calming, which would give pedestrians a safe haven as they're crossing Main Street to go to the side that has the sidewalk, for example. So it would evaluate those locations. The cost of that evaluation would be $15,800. And what you would do then is, after you had that evaluation, and they would give you kind of the, here's the geometrics of what that would look like, here's kind of conceptually where these would go, we would go through a public process to talk to the citizens who live in town to say, do you want us to pursue these medians? Because that's the second part of the question. The first part of the question is, what's possible? The second part of the question would be, what do citizens support of what's possible? Once we knew, say for example, McGill evaluated the 11 locations and said, really, it's only eight of them that make a lot of sense, that we're not going to interfere with people's turning motions and so forth. We went and citizens said, well, we really only support these five. We would then pursue grant funding for those five medians, work with VDOT as the owners of the street, and then work with grant funding agencies to pursue grant funding for those locations. So that's how that process would look. So this would be the first step in a process to consider locations for landscaped medians along the entirety of Main Street through town. So that's one proposal from McGill. The second proposal that I'm bringing to you from McGill, and this is the one that did not get in your packet, it was in your June packet, so I do apologize that I inserted the wrong one. But what the second one is it takes one block of Main Street and one side of one block, and I very intentionally picked the section that I picked for them to evaluate, because it is a section that even if you don't do anything with parking, you still have opportunities. So the section is this side of Main Street from West Court Street to 2nd Street. So the block that includes Bonfire, Hangout on Main, Montague Miller, that section of Main Street. And what this proposal would do is it would look at that one block on the one side, and it would give you three concept plans for what you could do to improve the overall streetscape for that block. And the three concept plans would look at the existing kind of configuration of parking that you have and sidewalk that you have. One of them would look at if you gave up the parking, what could you do with that block? And one of them would look at a combination of those two factors. So maybe reconfigured angled parking, maybe 3 15-minute spaces, some other parking configuration that was a middle road. Again, the reason that I picked that block instead of some blocks that maybe have a greater need for beautification is because that is a great block to be able to talk about whether or not people are willing to trade parking for beautification, because even if at the end of that conversation people say, no, we're not trading one parking space and we don't want any change in the configuration, that parking, that sidewalk section is still big enough to have opportunities for beautification. You still have room for street trees because it's a wider sidewalk section. We have some other locations that really have greater beautification needs than that block, but there is nowhere to go without taking away parking. There isn't enough sidewalk space. You're either going to have to take people's private property and their parking spaces, or you're going to have to take on-street parking. So I don't want to start with that conversation because there's nowhere to go on those. So this would really look at three concept plans. It's not going to be the full engineering study of how you would design each one of those if you pursued them, but it would be the step to take those three concept plans and then again, have a conversation with citizens. Is there benefit to the town in doing something different with parking? Is there no benefit? Do we want to beautify with what we have? And have that conversation then with those three options. If people picked an option that they liked out of that, what we would do then is pursue an engineering study to show how we would do that and pursue grant funding for that beautification project. Neither of these are short-term projects. These are longer-term projects. But what I would like to get you to do tonight is discuss each one of those and let me know if you want to pursue them, table them for a future meeting, decide no on them, but give staff some direction.
Is the cost going up $11,000?
The second one is $11,400.
I want to start by saying, I think that one block right in the center of town, they're already complaining about not having enough parking. So I really don't see that happening. I mean, that's going to be hard to have that to happen. I mean, sometimes you can go through it and there are like not many cars there, but then there are times you go through, there is not enough parking. It really is not. You know, I just don't think that block is a good fit for it.
Well, it's. I think there is enough parking overall. I think people don't want to walk a little bit. Because you look up on Court Street, usually there's plenty of parking up in there somewhere. I'm not saying, you know, we should go ahead and eliminate parking at all. I'm just saying that when people complain, and I had a conversation with Mr. Summerman this afternoon about that, and people just don't want to walk. And that's human nature.
But I've seen it congested up on Court Street and Main Street. Really, really have seen it congested a lot. But then sometimes it's not, but they're not willing to give up parking spaces. I'm going to be honest with you on that one.
Well, that's kind of why I brought up the suggestion we should, now that Burchard and Traders don't need a loading zone, no business right in the area needs a loading zone right now, that we should perhaps eliminate the loading zone. But that's just not here.
To blacktop and line it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why we have this group come in and discuss it. We may find out that we can't do it, but what do we know?
Right.
We know disrespect. Do you want me to speak now since I've...
Yeah, just we'll just start with you and come on around if that'll be okay.
That is where you want. Okay. Well, I have reviewed the walkability study that was done in 2016. And again, this is data from 2016. I'm going to try and be, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but what I found interesting that in 2016, the primary focus was the South Main Street, which is Route 29 Business Corridor between 2nd Street and Richmond Highway, which is Route 60. And at that time, they reported an annual average daily traffic of 5,000 vehicles. I didn't know it was that many. I mean, that's a lot of vehicles. So when we look at this study, people complain about speeding maybe through town. If you do these little extensions, it may help slow the vehicles down. I know going through Fifth Street in Lynchburg, I couldn't stand them. It makes me slow down. I mean, I love the beauty, but it's like, wait a minute, I have to pay attention. One question before I go further. You were mentioning this, we'll do one side. Is that just to study the side? Or we're not discussing like the brick pattern at this point, or are we? Is that going to be like the next?
I think they're going to give you some ideas about how, you know, that side can be beautified. So maybe sidewalk patterns, maybe, you know, how you can beautify the crossway. I think they'll give you some thoughts on
that. So both sides, because that's what.
But it's only going to be the one side in terms of the sidewalk. It's not going to skip and give you the perspective on the other side of the sidewalk. It's going to start with that.
But we can always look at that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, if this is something that turns out to be helpful in terms of the concept conversation, and it may also be that after you have this conversation on one block and people really do kind of get behind a general look or a set of standards, it may be that then you take those standards and start to apply them.
That would be great. I think this is a starting point. And I also noticed, I thought it might be interesting to people, to this community, at that time, the Citizens Steering Committee was comprised primarily of downtown merchants and residents who participated in organization or committees that were at that time active in the town of Amherst. And in their report, one of the priorities that was listed for the town of Amherst was given the importance of Second Street in providing access to and between destinations in the downtown area, they recommended improvements in that area. So I'm very interested. I would personally, after conversation, I would like to see us look into Second Street. I think the median ideas are great, but I would rather see us put money into Second Street. I know it's not, I understand that maybe we can't do this or can't do that, but we won't find out until we try with the study. I would also like to mention the utility poles. We know that it's just astronomical in cost to bury them, but in this study they mentioned the town of Bedford, that they had taken utility lines, and I'm wondering, I'm not sure about the poles, but they moved them to the streets and alleys behind the buildings. I don't know if I've read this, I don't know if it's correct. I'm wondering if you can bundle some of the wires so you won't have 15 going across the street, maybe you can have it all. That would be a AEP question. As far as parking, it was also mentioned that, I believe it's Kent Street, and Ms. McGovern, you'll have to help me with this. They were suggesting, in addition, new pedestrian scale lighting throughout downtown, a one-way alley and parking area along Kent Street. And if I'm not mistaken, maybe it's Mr. Cobbs, most of you can maybe speak for them in here, had a design plan for that area. And maybe we could revisit it. It may not cost that much more money, but at least look at it and get the flavor for having parking back there. So I think there are a lot of little pieces that can make this happen.
As far as Kent Street goes, that's, we've been to that many times.
Right.
That's our, it's a paper street, so to speak. It's not really a street.
Okay.
Second off, the businesses here own a strip back behind each one of them. And the hang-up in the past has been that you couldn't get them all to agree to something. Now, I don't know how it stands now with how people feel about it.
So it's not necessarily the business, it's the property owners that have a
say
in this.
Right.
Well, if they're looking at all this beautification happening in front of them, maybe they'd be interested in, I mean, maybe we could get to that later. I mean, maybe once we present them with ideas, as you mentioned, maybe they will think it's a good idea, maybe not. That's, I guess, how we'll base our decision going forward after that.
As far as Second Street goes, yeah, I see what you're talking about. I don't know, given the width of the street, and there's most of the street you have parking on both sides of the street, except in front of the fire department, and that's so they can get the trucks in and out. I don't know, because if you drive down there on a weekday and there's cars passing, I mean, you gotta pay attention to what you're doing.
there's not a lot of room to do anything. You certainly can't do meetings, though.
Well, right, but we can do something. I mean, that's what
we're hiring. What would you want to do on something's business?
Make it look nicer.
How? What?
That's why we'd have to have the
because
study done.
Because it's very tight and congested.
Well, maybe the study, that's why we're looking at the study here on Main Street.
My vehicles have been hit twice, parked on Suffolk Street. Mm-hmm. It's so tight. They just come by and hit my thing, you know? I mean, because it's not enough space on Suffolk
right.
Street as it is.
Well, my personal opinion is going back to the medians, the roads, for example, in my opinion, from Central Business District going south, the roads are fine. If we could get the powers that be, whomever own the sides of the roads, the guardrails, the signs, if they could just straighten up the signs,
that's
not make them crooked.
Yeah.
I mean, why can't they clean it up? I mean, I don't think we need a decorative median there. I think it's a great idea moving forward. However, I believe our needs are more downtown, or it should be focused on downtown. And as you said, how are they going to do it? Well, I don't know. I'm not the engineer. I'm not a designer. That's why we were looking at them to come up with ideas. And it goes back to just like this study in 2016, they ended up having panels. And if I'm correct from this study, and they had it in town hall where people could come in and look. And there were several organizers with this, you know, Region 2000, the Highway Virginia Department of Transportation, others. And they can explain to you, and I think, because we can't do anything without their approval about that mistake. So I believe it'd be just, why not? Why not make it right? I hate doing things piecemealing. When we could do it right the first time, and then build upon it if the community wants that. And if they don't, we just bow out and say, we'll try. Anyway.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I think we've kicked this can around so many times, and we've put it on the back burner, and we've not done this, we haven't done that. We need to decide, do we want to look at what kind of proposals this firm can come up with? We don't have to accept them.
Correct.
We don't have to accept them at all if we don't like them. But I think if we're going to do anything, we need to go and invest in the study, the design features, not design features, but the study of what can be done.
But discussion is basically on the block on Main Street, am I right?
And the medians.
And the medians.
Yeah.
And I'd ask council to have two separate motions to give staff direction on those two proposals.
Let's hear from you all.
I would like a little more time. I did not get the proposal that you have given tonight, and I would like some more time to look at it and think about it, and I'd like to suggest that we put it on the agenda for next month and let us think about it, talk about it, and bring it up next month.
That's fine.
I would like to see a study of a fourth concept, and that is making Main Street in the Central Business District one way. Whenever we block the area off out here for an event, cars have no problems coming right to the stoplight, making a right turn, and then going down Second Street, and then back onto 60, and then coming back in, and if they want to, parking up in that area. But you know, a route that would, if we had Main Street one direction going southbound with maybe a lane and a half, that allows you to open up, widen sidewalks, nose in parking, several things.
One way from where to where?
From the traffic circle to the traffic light.
So if Chief needs to go to an emergency on Hangar Road, he's going to have to come out of the Court Street and make a right and go all the way around 60 back into the circle to get to Hangar Road. I think from an emergency EMS, rescue squad, chief, fire department, police, that is not a good concept.
Well, if you have 5,000 vehicles on the average in 2016 all going one way, tractor trailers that may come through, then you're going to have, I would imagine it's going to be a great expense to have him to get, to empty the vehicles out onto the Richmond Highway. There's going to have to be stoplights, circles, there's going to have to, I just think it's going to be quite involved.
I don't think it's a good idea because I
well, that's a concept, another concept.
And I have to go all the way around town to go to the post office. And the street right at the post office, can't think of the name of it, has to go all the way around town just to come back to go to get gas. All families within the center of town are going to be affected by that. And I don't like the idea.
We can think about it, I guess, and discuss it
going
forward.
Well, we got next month. I'm not in a rush to do this. So.
If we're concerned about beautification of the central business district and widening certain areas, instead of two lanes, cut it down to a lane and a half that's going in one direction. That would do it.
I have a question for our Chief Watts. How do you feel about that? As far as law enforcement?
Ms. Turner makes a real good point about that. Anything that we need to have emergency down here, especially, I would think about like fire trucks, just specific like a ladder truck, anything large like that. Mr. Bill Morgan might be able to shed some light on that. I agree that would create a whole lot of hassle, especially if you were talking about having track trailers come down through that one way as well.
Mr. Vice Mayor, what I'd like to get in is it sounds like there's a general consensus from council to put this on the agenda again next month. So we'll have both these two, and I will make sure that I don't insert the wrong one next month so that you have that. And I will go ahead and just reach out to VDOT and ask and see if that is a possibility for council to discuss. I don't know that VDOT would give permission for that because 29, Main Street still is the primary highway, and I don't know if you can one-way a primary highway. So it may be that it is not a thing that would be within our ability to consider. So I will just ask them that question.
So isn't it, I think it's true that I've seen this where there have been some power lines or some things between Ambrier and 60 exit routed traffic through town to get them through town, to get them past that.
So,
okay.
Right, so that's part of why I don't know because if there's something that happens on the bypass, there are times that traffic has been routed through Main Street, and I don't know if VDOT would have. So I'll find that out and make sure that I have that answer for next time.
Well, for that matter, VDOT's going to have to be involved in all of this because roads are theirs, the sidewalks are theirs, everything's theirs.
And so before I brought these proposals to you, and the reason I pulled off the one that was the 60 West one and the CVS one is because VDOT is actually evaluating that for us now. But we have had conversations when the mayor and I met with VDOT a couple months ago. We've had conceptual conversations about both the landscaped medians and about that block of Main Street to make sure that VDOT was supportive of us doing this evaluation and would be supportive of us seeking grant funds to do those projects. So we do have conceptual buy-in from VDOT on those. But just like those two, having that conversation with VDOT before I get a proposal, I would want to do the same thing before we went too far on the one-way question.
I do have one more question. You've mentioned grants a couple times, and please explain to me, a lot of times grants are given 100%. A lot of times they are matching. Do you have any instance that this might be a matching, or do you think we could get full funding for this, or...?
So it depends on which way the grants went. I mean, kind of the common match for a lot of the grants we would be looking at is a 20% on the part of the town. Either of these projects would qualify, I think, for VDOT has a couple of grant programs that are really based on some of the pedestrian enhancements. Mm-hmm. And so these fit pretty squarely into that category. And then both of these, I also think, especially the Main Street part with the downtown, would fit into community development block grant funding. We have not applied for that funding for many years. But that is the funding source. For example, Town of Appomattox has been using for some of their downtown beautification. That's a pretty common bucket of funds that's available for those kinds of projects. But usually the match is around 20%.
Thank you.
The last thing on your discussion item list is Economic Development Authority appointment. You do have a vacancy on the EDA. You have received one application, and I wanted to see if council wanted to let that sit to see if you had any other applications or if you were ready to make an appointment this evening.
I'd say let that sit a moment and see if anybody else wants to apply as well. That's my thought. But
I don't have a problem with that.
Me either.
Okay, so we'll leave that open, and then we'll take that under consideration again next month.
And matters from staff. I don't have anything.
Matters from staff. Anyone?
Nothing from plan, so.
Okay.
She said this piece.
Can I just say that we have two more orders for the the flags, yes.
We've gotten a lot of really great feedback from people about that design and about both the welcome and the military banner.
Thank
so
you very much.
We have gotten a lot of great feedback on both of those designs. Thank you, Vicki.
Mm-hmm. Last chance, Madison staff. Okay, we're going into citizen comments. Sandra Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor, Town Council members. When I first moved to the town of Amherst 14 years ago, I was amazed by the diverse mix of activity that we had in the center of town. We had a full-fledged construction business, we had a lumber yard and a hardware store. We had antique stores and print shops and banks and automotive sales and service and appliance sales, insurance agents, a land surveyor, a nuclear power plant component manufacturing business, gas stations and restaurants, and big beautiful homes, all coexisting within the same space. It was beautiful. I thought to myself, the people in this town must really practice tolerance of their neighbors in order to allow all of this diverse activity to take place in one place. Coming from the small town of Bowling Green, Virginia, where the downtown area was all but dead, I was convinced that what made Amherst thrive when Bowling Green died was that Amherst permitted all of this activity. For most of the history of the town of Amherst, we did not have strict zoning rules, or any zoning rules at all for that matter. The town sprung up from a need to serve the surrounding county. The needs were diverse, and so our town was diverse, and our town thrived. The beautiful homes we have in town were built not because people wanted to live close together, but because the people providing the services in our community needed a place to live. Unlike modern developments, our town was not centrally planned, but each person built what they thought was needed based on what they saw as the needs of the community. Our town continues to thrive because our town is full of people that see a need and want to fill it. That's why we have so many independently locally owned businesses. It's a win-win when we permit people to pursue their dreams of meeting a local need by setting up a business. Business owners find something meaningful to do that hopefully provides an income, and the community gets a local need filled. These businesses also provide a focal point for community interaction, where we can engage with each other as members of the community and enrich each other's lives through conversation and friendship, and when needed, assist each other when we're in need. It's a beautiful thing. What I'm concerned about is what I perceive to be a recent prioritization of physical beauty above the beauty of tolerance and acceptance that built this town. Now don't get me wrong, I love physical beauty. I love how members of the community take pride in their homes and businesses and make them beautiful because they want to, not because anyone asked them to. Someone mentioned to me the other day that it must cost a fortune to maintain the traffic circle in town. They were amazed when I told them that it's kept beautiful by the efforts of volunteers. That's our town. But we're shooting ourselves in the foot when we depart from the tolerance and acceptance that built this town and start banning activity that we think is subjectively not attractive, like gravel parking and the use of empty lots without a separate business office. If our town had to be rebuilt today under current zoning rules, we'd have a very different looking town, because most of what we have and cherish in the center of town would not be allowed. These restrictions that were first developed 20 years ago and which we keep adding to are obstacles in the way of people who are attempting to meet the needs of our community. I want to see us return to a time when we practice tolerance and acceptance and our community thrive because of it. I don't want to see any more businesses close up and leave town because our regulatory environment is too burdensome for them. Let's recognize what made us great for most of our town's history and restore an attitude of tolerance and acceptance for each other. Our community will only thrive if we can do that. Thank you.
Matters from council.
Oh, dear Lord, before I go on to what I was going to say, I'm so tired of people downing the town of Amherst. I lived here, was raised here until I was what, in my 20s, lived in Nelson for almost 30 and moved back home. I have friends and family that live here, people that have lived here all their lives. The town is a wonderful place. If people don't like it, we're not keeping you here. People stay because they enjoy it. People move here because of what we are. I'm sorry, I watched the community chat, received emails, listened to radio shows, and misrepresentation of facts every time. I'm sitting here, as well as my fellow council members, and I'm not speaking for anyone at this table, but I do homework before I come to speak to you guys. I ask to make sure, and I'm accountable to everything I tell you, whether it's factual or not. I try and do due diligence. Personally, I've taken hits in the community for trying to do what's right for our citizens and the people that not only voted for me, but our entire community. I love it. I love the town of Amherst. If you guys don't, if you want to complain, state the facts. Your thoughts are wonderful, but they're not factual. And it's hard for me to place any emphasis on your thoughts when you can't even get the facts straight. I take it to heart, and I'm sure many of our citizens do. Maybe it's time, you talk about the division on a national level. We have such division here in town over gravel. Come on, the rules are the rules. You know it when you're doing it, and then you want to come back and blame us. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll stop now and go back to what I was going to say. I just can't take it anymore. It's just so ridiculous. You're making the town look like fools. And if everyone that makes these comments would stand up and look in their own backyard and do what's right, then you have something to stand on. But until you are living your truth, don't come pushing on the town's doors on what we're not doing. I think we're doing a good job. Thank you, and I'm sorry, Manager, Mary, tell me to be quiet. But anyway, so on to the next concern.
Get it out.
Well, I just am so tired of it. Good God. Okay, so we go back to the town of Amherst. Oh, and speaking of the town, look at some of these neighborhoods. So much trash in their yards, and they think that if people want to look at that, and you're complaining about the beautification of the town, you go and look at some of the backyards. It's just junk piled up. Beautiful homes, as this gentleman was just mentioning. Beautiful homes built by Swanson Jones, for one, Georgie Jones. They've got those beautiful homes with iron on it, classic look, all falling apart. People don't have any pride in anything anymore. But they will certainly come and throw the book at me if I don't want to do due diligence and do what's right for the town. I'm so tired of it. Okay, so I will stop there. I want to bring up two items. A constituent had asked me about our water bill. I have no opinion on this, and I don't know if I look to the mayor, town manager, Tracy. They would like to maybe develop a grace period for payment on the water bill. I don't know how to answer that. I said I would bring it forward to council for an opinion. That's one thing. I don't know how we would do that, if anyone's interested.
What do you mean grace period as far as time to pay the bill?
Yeah. Sort of like the way the power company does. I mean, I thought we had, you know, you pay by this date or late fee. I guess maybe another grace period in between. Does anyone?
This is working.
Go ahead.
Could you just go over what our policy says in terms of when bills go out and when they're due and fees and so forth?
So when the customers do come in to set up an account, they do get our entire utility policy. And we explain it to them in detail when they get a new account. Our bills go out the last business day of the month, and they normally, we always tell them to look for them the first week of the month, and if you don't get them, then call us. And we even this last month had a snafu. I'm not really sure what happened at the post office, but the bills went out on Wednesday, July 31st, and by Monday morning, people were still coming in here saying, I haven't got my bill yet, but I know it's due, so I need you to tell me what my bill is so I can go ahead and pay. Mm-hmm. And then we explained to them that the bills are always due by the 20th. Anything after 5 o'clock on the 20th is a 10% penalty, and you are now allowed 60 days to get behind before we shut you off. Okay. And the policy lays out our leak policies, if they ever have a leak, the 10% late fee, the cutoff fee to get you turned back on, the connection fees, all of that's in the policy that they get when they set up an account.
Okay.
So,
Thank you.
And I do believe that the 20th is pretty standard for other localities as well. And in even other localities, they may not even bill every month. I know Madison Heights, they do bills every other month or quarterly. So we bill every month, which is also a benefit, I think, for a lot of people.
Well, thank you. That answers. I will pass this on. And I have one more thing for council, if I may. we have been talking about the IDA, the industrial park. At one time, the Amherst Bike Club was interested in using the property. They had one strip, but because there's no development going on, and I believe there was, and I can't speak to it right now, but regarding the adding the pods or different places may not come to fruition right away. May we go back to the Mountain Club, Bike Club, to see if they're interested in using it again? I mean, they
don't quit, do they?
No, but they wanted to use
so
more.
So the challenge that they have is that the parcel that we laid out for them to have available, they have access to that parcel, which you would access from the industrial park, and then they have access to property owned by the town that is adjacent to the wastewater plant that's on the other side of the creek. Their hope had been to get the ability to construct a bridge so you would be able to park mm-hmm. up in the industrial park and then have access to all of that property. That has not worked out. I mean, it's expensive. There's substantial topography there. The permitting is not an easy lift. And so they have not been able to make that happen. So most of the trails really you access from wastewater. So you can go down to wastewater, park there, and you can access trails from there, and there's several of them. And they have been using and maintaining those. What they haven't been able to benefit from is the part of the industrial park where you would enter in on, in there or go on Commerce Drive, one of those two directions. So I think what you're asking about is their ability to use more of the industrial park proper. That would really be something we would take to the EDA. I think that the EDA is having a meeting this coming month. It'll be the first Tuesday. It won't be on Monday since that's Labor Day, but it would be on Tuesday.
When is that?
September 3rd at 5:15. I'd be happy to add that to the EDA agenda for the EDA to have a discussion because they're kind of planning on having kind of a broader discussion about direction for the industrial park.
When we were visiting this initially, I was appalled. I mean, there's nothing against our wastewater plants. They do a great job. I've toured it. It's clean. But I think there would be a nicer entrance way if we could go in through the main park entrance versus through the wastewater. Because I believe the club at the time was really promoting their efforts and bringing bikers in, and I think it'd be a great thing.
The only thing I had, and this week we touched on it, we're a board, we're a public body, and we are susceptible to criticism, sometimes rightly so. We signed up for this job, we know what it is. However, some of the criticism is unwarranted that I've been hearing. It's strictly nonsense, some of it. Everybody around this table except for Mr. Driscoll, and he's been here, what, almost 30 years now? Everybody around this table was born and raised here, in this town. And you're not going to find anybody in this town that cares more about this town than the people behind this table right now. Now, you'll get some people that care for it just as much, but not more, because, you know, we're sitting here putting ourselves up for this criticism. We take it when it's deserved, but some of it didn't deserve. That's all I have.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I will address the EDA. We are more than welcome to work with the bike company. There are some obstacles that we've tried to work through,
right.
And it hasn't clicked yet.
I understand.
But we know that having bike paths on that end and having both industry there being able to use the bike paths,
mm-hmm.
or even walking paths or something is a benefit to the town as well as that park. So it's not that we don't want them to be there, or it's just been some obstacles on the EDA side as well as the bike side that we are certainly working towards to get fixed.
Oh, and I'd like to add a question. I understand that. I think I can't remember all the agencies. I know that your hands were tied into all these other. This is just another step.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you.
Nothing except I value everybody's opinion. Thank you for coming here and giving us your opinion. That's it?
Yeah, continue, please.
Well,
you don't? Okay.
You have something to add?
No, I've been great listening to this council. We're ready to adjourn. Do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make that motion.
I second.
Second. Meeting is
adjourned. Okay. I know you just make a wrong choice.